and now evangelist David Shannon.
Open your Bibles, Proverbs the 6th chapter. Proverbs the 6th chapter. Madison Strought was an instructor at Vanderbilt University, mathematics, for many years. Before he gave a test, he always gave the same simple paragraph in speech to his students. He said, "Today I give you two tests, one in trigonometry and one in honesty. If you fail one test, I hope that it is the test of trigonometry. For you see, there are many good people in this world that cannot pass trigonometry. But there are no good people in this world that cannot pass the test of honesty." The American scandal in our school system today is cheating. As I ask our young people, how many do you think in your school systems cheat? I get answers from 50% ranging up to 79%. When I ask them, how many do you think have at least cheated once? I get answers like 99%. Now, let's go to, say, some more thorough studies. Recently, in Reader's Digest, an article was entitled, "Cheating in Our Schools, a National Scandal." And for a few minutes, I want to build this first point based on the fact that the world is for cheating. Many of you probably went to school and you probably were through with your education so far as schooling goes before the 70s. But I want to tell you, if you haven't been in school since the 70s, you do not know the cheating firsthand that takes care and takes place in the American school systems today. Whereas the ethical values and integrity and honesty was maintained at least usually by the teachers in the 50s and 60s and prior to that, it does not exist in the 70s, 80s, and especially now in the 90s. In this article, 3,100 students that were in who's who of American schools. They are the students that are in the upper class of intelligence. And they are the students that have performed on high levels of leadership and athletics. They are supposed to be, according to the standards, the cream of the crop of our American school system. 3,100 of these students were surveyed, and they were asked a simple question: have you cheated? 78% said yes. When they were asked, what is the percent of those that cheat on a common and frequent basis, they reported that 89% of their classmates cheat frequently. A gentleman named Fred Schaub has studied cheating in the schools for decades. In 1969, he asked high school students, "Would you admit to cheating?" 34% of the survey said yes. 20 years later, in 1989, the same question, but now more than doubled, nearing 70% said yes. Things changed from the 70s forward in America's school systems. Also, back in 1969, he asked them, how many of you would cheat on work that was simply handed in? 58% admitted that they would do that. When asked that question in 1989, 98% of the American students said they would cheat on work that was handed in. Honesty and integrity is out of the American school systems if we look at a majority. And what is replaced is success, quote, at any cost. Let me give you a few examples. Walt Whitman High School in Maryland is considered one of the best public high schools in America because their SAT averages score 200 points above the national average year after year. In their graduating class, each year they average 40 students that go on to Ivy League schools. They interviewed one of the seniors that was an honor student. All A's in honors classes. Would he cheat? He smiled and said, "Of course I would cheat." When asked why he would cheat, he described almost a safety net. He said, "It keeps me from going in the hole to make sure that I cheat on most tests." And then asked whether or not he would help others cheat. He said, "Yes. Just the other day I sold the chemistry answers to one of my best friends for $20 for one test." You see, as various students across America were interviewed, what was not found was any shame, any disregard. What was found was a pleasure and a joy in the fact that they could cheat. Even though oftentimes they were highly intelligent students. Another young lady, while this survey was conducted, was asked, "Would you cheat?" She proudly held up her hand and said, "You see that? That's the abbreviation of the 50 states. I use that just today." Then asked, "Does she feel any guilt?" She says, "Guilt? None whatsoever. I'm joyed because I know I make the grades." You see, it's success at any price. It's win, no matter what it costs. The motivations? Laziness would be one motivation. As one student put it, "I can do 10 minutes of cheating and make up for 2 hours of study." You see, across America today, we don't have to look very far, and many would have to admit that the term is very real and it's very accurate. Couch potato. Turn the TV on. Spend the afternoon in front of the TV. And then when it's too late to study, get the cheat sheets out. You see, it's ease. It's, quote, comfort instead of work, dedication, integrity, and honesty. Why else is a motivation to cheat in American school systems today? It's because now many teachers today make it easy. Many decades ago, it would have been unheard of for a teacher to give a test and walk out of the room. That's not unheard of today. Many teachers pass out tests and leave the room. Or many teachers pass out tests and look down at their desk and do work the whole time and never look up. You see, when this happens, it becomes an open book test. Or when the teacher leaves the class, it becomes an all class test. And student after student admits that it happens day in and day out. And that the reality is, because of the peer pressure, it's harder to not participate in cheating today in American schools than to participate. Why? The peer pressure, along with the peer pressure that even teachers experience, make it difficult to enforce punishments upon cheating. Many teachers admit that they're afraid to be hard on cheaters because they do not want to deal with the parents after the punishment is inflicted. Is it a problem for the teachers? Yes, it's a problem. One school that was recently awarded the coveted Blue Ribbon Award given by the federal government for schools that excel. This was just back last year in 1994 in California. After they received the award, files began to be checked. They found out that administrators had went into the files of 287 students, their permanent files, and made over 600 changes in grades. Teachers cheating for rewards and recognition. Now, as teachers are of that caliber, can we not expect that they themselves will overlook cheating in their classrooms also? You see, there's even some states where the performance of the students bases the salary and raises and things of that nature. So therefore, in those rooms, it's been said that even cheating is promoted. So with all of that in mind, I say simply to each one of us, cheating is the way of the world in the American school system. Now, the question is cheating the way of God? Let's look at Proverbs, the 6th chapter. Let's look at verse 16, and let's see some truths from God's Word to find out whether or not cheating is the way of which God expects our students, even our adults, to live. He says in verse 16, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, and a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." When we look at these seven things, there's three that are very closely related to cheating. Number one is the second thing he mentions, and that is a lying tongue. And please notice that a lying tongue, according to the proverb writer here, is not something that the Lord just feels a little mediocre about. He says a lying tongue is something that the Lord hates, and it's an abomination to Him. The word abomination means to detest something. Now, I want to give you somewhat of a gross example, but to make the point very clear, you have to be someone very close to me. Very close. As close as my children and my wife before I can stand in the room with you as you vomit. I detest it. I have to get away from it. The Lord detests the lying tongue. He won't stand in the presence. He's going to push the person away because the reality is he doesn't have to push. The person has already pushed themselves away. Students that believe that some way they can cheat and still have a love for God is wrong. God hates a lying tongue, and you won't stay in the presence of God and practice cheating. To say that it's your work when it's not your work is a lie. To say that it's your grade when it's not your grade is a lie. You can't stand in the presence of God with that kind of behavior. Acts the 6th chapter. There was a search for what we usually call today deacons. In this passage, it's simply called servants. One of the things that they were to look for as they were to look for men to carry out the needs of servicehood was in verse 3 when it says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report." And so it's been from the very beginning, it's been all throughout the New Testament, and it's been even to today's time, young people and old. That is, God has always looked for honest men and women to carry out the work of the church. God has never longed for a dishonest man to serve as an elder. God has never longed for a dishonest man to serve as a deacon. God has never longed for a dishonest woman to teach a Bible class. God has never longed for a dishonest person to say that they're a follower of His. God hates it. God detests it. God will not have it in His kingdom. How can I think? Even though it's the American scandal, even though the schools are full of it, young people don't fall into the mold and the behavior that it's sharing, that it's just being kind to your neighbor, that it's just an easy way for a better grade. It's lies. It's hated by God, and it's detested by Him. As we go also further over in the Bible to Romans, the 12th chapter, we see a very beautiful chapter about day-to-day living. In Romans, the 12th chapter, in verse 1 and 2, he says some verses that would help us all in our day-to-day life, and especially you young people as we think about this subject of cheating. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy." You're going to have to be set apart from the world if you're not going to be one that cheats in the school systems today. "Holy, acceptable unto God." You can't cheat and be acceptable unto God, "which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world." The way of the world right now is cheating. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The only thing in the sight of God that is good in the area of a comparison of honesty and cheating is honesty. The only thing that is acceptable is honesty. The only thing that is the will of God is honesty. Young people, you must avoid cheating. And I want to say to you at this time, I know that it may sound as if coming across hard, but it is a hard subject. And I know there may be a temptation for the young people here today to say, "Dave, you don't understand. Almost Everybody does it. That's why we're different. That's why we're Christians. We're not like unto the world. And as I think about my past years in school, because I'll inform those of you young people that think I'm an old man, I was in the school system that's pretty much in your generation. I went to school throughout most of the decades of the 70s and the 80s. I saw almost every friend I have cheat. I saw almost every classmate that I had cheat. And I felt most of the time alone in honesty. But God will not tolerate dishonesty. He hates it. We have to decide where we stand. Will we be conformed to the world? Or will we be transformed and stand with God? Notice also one more passage, and we're going to have to move on quickly. But notice also Philippians, the 4th chapter and verse 8. He lists 6 things here, and the reality is it seems that all 6 of these things can be applied to honesty in relationship to not cheating. In Philippians 4:8, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, he does mention honesty there, but everything there has to do with honesty. In the sense, if something is true, it's not dishonest. If something, of course, is honest, it's not dishonest. If something is pure, it's not dishonest. If something is lovely, it's not dishonest. If something is of a good report, it's not dishonest. And so he concludes this verse by saying, is there any virtue to the things mentioned above? Of course there's virtue to them. There's worth to them. They're valuable. Are there any praise to them? Yes. They're all worth trying to have in our life. He says, think on them. Meditate upon them. Become those things in your life. Notice, if you will, as we look back to Proverbs, the 6th chapter, we see in verse 18 that the Lord hates and detests a heart that deviseth wicked imagination. King James Version uses imagination usually in the same way that you and I today would use the word reasoning. God hates, He detests a mind that sets and reasons upon ways to sin, to cheat, to be dishonest. The same young man that I gave you the illustration at the beginning that sold his test scores for, or his test answers for $20, he had worked very diligently to develop a program on his calculator so that the display would say cleared memory, when in fact he had all of the chemistry formulas recorded. So when the teacher came around to check everyone's calculator before the test to see if the memory had been cleared, his would state cleared memory. Then when she would go on to the others, he could punch a few other buttons and recall the memory that had said it was clear. Therefore, he had all the formulas he needed for a perfect score. Now, there would be young people that would smile and say, "That's clever. That's a great scheme. That's wonderful." But let us realize at the same time we might believe the lies of Satan, God is saying, "I hate it. I detest it. I won't have it in my sight." You see, the schemes of this world, the things that we meditate upon, are eventually the things that we'll live out. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Young people, don't sit around and meditate upon ways to cheat. Don't sit around and meditate upon any ways of sin. Because the longer we meditate upon them, the more likely we are to commit them. The final thing that we see here in this passage here is in verse 19 when he says, "A false witness that speaketh lies." When I write my name on a sheet of paper, I am a witness to that as my work. When I place my work and someone else's work on that sheet of paper and I hand it in with my name only, I become a false witness. I'm lying to my teacher to say that that is my work when in reality it's not my work. I'm a false witness with a lying tongue. God hates a lying tongue. Revelation, the 21st chapter and verse 8, he tells us that along with several other kinds of sinners, he says, all liars will have their place in fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God doesn't look lightly at all upon lying. And we can give excuses. We can say, but listen, I was just lying because that was a friend and he and I have been friends since we were just knee high. All liars. I was only lying because it's a pass-fail situation. If I don't pass it this time, I've got to fail for the year. All liars. You see, with God, He hates it and He detests it. I hope, as we've looked so far, we see a very clear statement. The world is for cheating. God is against cheating. Now the question, and a good question. What can I do to avoid and overcome the temptation of cheating? Number one, Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above. The very first thing you're going to have to do, young people, is decide where you want to live eternally. Do you want to set your affection upon heaven? If so, I encourage you to make sure that nothing else becomes more important than your home in heaven. I want you to think with me for just a moment. As we think of heaven, we think of the Godhead. And as we think of the Godhead, we can picture a better image of Jesus Christ because He was upon this earth. And Jesus said, while He is upon this earth, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In other words, Jesus Christ said, I am the truth personified. In John the 8th chapter, verse 44, we read that Satan, the devil, is the father of all lies. In other words, John said Satan is a liar personified. Who will we follow? Will we follow the truth or will we follow a lie? Young people, think of where the two are going to spend eternity. Jesus Christ is coming back for His own. He's coming back for all those who will stand for righteousness and stand for honesty and that will obey Him and submit their life to Him. And He's taking them back to a reward in heaven to live their eternity, for an eternity. But Satan, the father of lies, will be punished, bound and cast into hell for an eternity with all those that follow his ways. Young people, you need to decide tonight where you want to spend an eternity. And I hope you say that you want to set your affections on things above. No one is worth giving that up for. It may be your best friend. And you realize that if you decide to cheat, you're allowing your friendship to take the place of your eternal life with God. Sometimes it may even be your parents. You feel a great, great burden on your shoulders to perform for your parents and you don't want the punishment or you don't want the disappointment that would come in the life of your parents and so you try to please them. Your parents aren't worth sacrificing your eternal life. Where will you set your affection? Number two, I urge you to set your heart. In other words, tomorrow, in the middle of a test, is not the time to decide whether or not you're going to cheat. Right now, tonight is the time to say whether or not you're going to cheat. When the teacher walks out of the room and the class turns into a big cheating time, that's not the time to decide whether or not you're going to cheat. Now is the time. And I want to tell you, young people, three little words that could make much difference in your life if you'll just learn to say them while looking the person in the eye. I don't cheat. In the middle of a test, someone will whisper to you. I assure you, they will whisper to you. What's the answer to five? Young people, you look them straight in the eye and say the three simple words. I don't cheat. They're going to tell you before the test is being passed out, keep your elbow in so I can see your answers. You turn around and look them straight in the eye. Say, I don't cheat. They're going to tell you, hey, this is a big one. I've got to have the grade. Help me out. I don't cheat. Young person, if you can't say in your heart tonight that you will say that the next time that you're asked, you probably will not be able to withstand the temptation to cheat. It takes a commitment at the present time to be able to stand during the times of temptation. Also, I encourage you not only to set your affection on things above and set in your heart the commitment that you're not going to cheat, but also encourage you to endure. As I stated earlier, one of the hardest things to do in America's school system today is go through the school and not cheat. Endure. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of righteousness. It's not going to be easy, but young person, with the help of God, you can do it. You can make it without cheating. But then finally, please let this help you, young person. Remember, as you take every test, as you work on every project, God is right there with you. Maybe it would help you to imagine that as you're sitting there taking the test, that Jesus Christ has pulled up a folding chair and He set it right out in the aisle and He's watching you take that test. You see, when teachers enforce harsh penalties for cheating, it's a proven fact that cheating stops in the classroom almost altogether. Why? Because children realize that when a harsh penalty is coming and someone is watching, they don't want to cheat. Young people, since you have a spiritual maturity far greater than those out in the world, it ought to be a motivation to you that I don't want to cheat because I know that even if the teacher doesn't see it, if my siblings don't see it, if my classmates don't see it, and if my parents don't see it, God in heaven does see it. Two boys admitted that they cheated in every class they had except for one. They were questioned why that one class, and they laughed and they said, "Oh, you don't know Sarge." They said, "Tell us more about Sarge." They said, "Sarge is a woman that when she passes out the test, she continues to walk up and down the aisle and she watches everybody's eyes and everybody's movement and everybody's every little jot of the pencil." And they said, when Sarge catches you cheating, there's no questions, your paper's taken up, and there's a big fat zero. Two boys that reported they cheat in every class say, "We would never cheat in Sarge's class." Young people, you have an Almighty God that loves you. The only reason He's watching over you is not just to catch you, but it still is a fact of reality. He's watching over you. It's wonderful that He's watching over you, and at the times when your face turns red and it seems so hard to say, "I don't cheat," He's proud of you. He's sitting right there, and He's glad that you stood up for what's right. But that same God is sitting right there at the times that you give in, and He sees the times, and He hates them, and He tests them. And if you don't repent, the penalty has to be paid for eternal destruction. Let me close with just a few comments to parents. Parents, I hope you use this lesson tonight. If you didn't know already, please know that I have not exaggerated. There is a horrible problem in the American school system today of cheating. Know what your child is going to face and make sure that just as perhaps every week they see or are confronted by cheaters, they need encouragement from you. Know what they're dealing with, so that you can train and educate them in the ways of righteousness. But secondly, know your child. Don't ask more than what your child can deliver. Don't expect perfection. There's only been one that was perfect, and that was Jesus Christ. Give your child leeway to bring home a bad test score every now and then. I'd far rather have a C student that was honest than an A student that cheated just so they could please me as a parent. And then also display yourself honesty and integrity. They know that you're honest. They know that you have integrity by the way that you deal in your day-to-day business and in your personal life. Don't expect your child to go to school and be honest if you can't be honest about your personal business. Parents, finally, I urge you, pray for your children. Your children can make it. Why? Because God never puts upon anyone more than He can stand. But all of us need the power of prayer. This evening, we close with this thought, and I ask you this question. Would you cheat yourself out of eternal life? You know, oftentimes when we need to be baptized for the remission of sin, or we need to ask for forgiveness of sin, we allow the lies of Satan to infiltrate our mind, and we don't deal honestly with ourselves. We believe the lies and we cheat ourselves out of forgiveness of sins. This evening, I'm asking you, do you have sins forgiven in your life? Has the Lord washed them away? If not, don't believe any lies. Don't cheat yourself out of salvation. If you need to be baptized tonight for the remission of sins, do so. Or if you need to confess wrong, do that tonight. Young people, I challenge you to stand with God. Challenges for all of us. Tonight, if we can help in any way, come as we